You can see the screen with the agenda. So I would like to suggest to start with some review of the tasks that we identified as important for the Dublin release. We have some priorities already assigned for most of them. For regarding the leaders, maybe not that much. So I would like to take some time to discuss with you if somebody would like to volunteer to lead some of the tasks. Then I will share with you some feedback coming from Krzysztof on the penetration test status. He sent an email, but maybe not all of you could have opportunity to read it. A few words about the news coming from the TSC meetings, about the successful acceptance by the TSC of M1 security checklist. Maybe Amy, you could say a few words on that. That we may have opportunity to run some ONS related face-to-face meeting for ONAP, and also the code of conduct for the CIA badging silver level. Then later, Samuli will give us some overview about the ONAP component security. Then we could have some review of the ticket management for the vulnerabilities. And last but not least, we will have also the point to elect the chair for the SecCom. As you know, Steve resigned from his duties because he's occupied also with the ONAP architectural leadership. So he's leading this sub-community. So we have a chair to elect. And if you would have any other points to discuss, don't hesitate. I also put the link for the Jira, so you could view all the tickets that are opened, kind of list of all items we have. Obviously, if I now jump to the presentation that is referring to the Dublin priorities, can you see it now on the screen, or I need to extra share it? Maybe I will put new share. Yeah, I think I should do this. So you can see it now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
So I will try to enlarge it so it will be better to see it. I will jump directly to the topics. So I made some small modification from the previous version of the presentation to assign the priorities P0, P1, P2, P3 to according to slides, so we could review it according to the priorities. So for the P0, we have so far three items identified. So security by design. So Amy is leading this task, and we have already the list of milestones and checklists assigned to M1, M2, M3, M4, and so on. The good news is that during the last TSC meeting, Amy, maybe you could make a few words about the TSC meeting and what was accepted by the TSC.
Yes, we had put at the end of last year, we had put together the milestone, the security questions to be added to the milestone checklist. We've never had security questions in there before, so we were sort of hanging off the side. The TSC approved the five questions for M1. For those of you who haven't reviewed those, they are they're under the security section of the wiki under our recommendations. I guess they can be moved. I guess the M1 ones could be moved into stuff that has been approved, but we'll get around to that. They're very basic, but one of the things we want is really to get the project looking at the Nexus IQ scans, the known vulnerabilities within third-party packages, and we want to get those to be. We want them to start looking at those at the beginning of the release and see where they have packages with vulnerabilities, where they may be, especially if those are exploitable vulnerabilities from within their code. We want them to plan to get those packages upgraded. So that's really the basic gist of what the five questions address in milestone one. We also want them to commit to the level of badging for that release.
Yeah, and added value for the developers and PTLs is that they would not have to focus on the last minute on the security aspects, but rather align the security questions and security considerations along with the release lifecycle. So there are some questions for M1, some questions for M2, M3, and M4, and not for the last minute, and then people are maybe stressed too much on it. So I hope that it will be appreciated by the community. We have
one suggestion.
Yes, please.
When they make a commitment, don't make the commitment on, we plan to get 100% passing or 100% silver.
Okay. So the goal
instead,
for the...
At least so much towards passing, and at least so much towards silver, at least as much so much towards gold, or separate targets for each of the three levels, since they are separably measurable, and there are certain things that are just blockers for some projects to even reach passing. Like there, I was having a conversation yesterday with somebody, one of the PTLs. They're sitting at 98% because of dependencies on Open Daylight. And one of the questions, they just cannot pass. So.
Yes, Jonathan. Anyways. In fact, for the Open Daylight, we have an also activity here on our list. And I will give you some overview what's going on in this topic in a minute, okay? So we have, focusing on the P0, so we have the non-vulnerability review. So we need to continue our journey with the vulnerabilities that were discovered in Casablanca. And we will be doing the same Nexus IQ scanning for Dublin release. Amy, I would like to support you in this because it's a significant amount of work and we could try to move on with it along with the PTS.
I was also thinking we should at least have a look at what has changed, if anything has changed for the maintenance release.
Yes, you're right. So we could do some extra iteration for the maintenance release. You're right. Okay. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I asked on the PTL call on Monday to have, so that the PTLs would send me, just email me, if they had any changes, and so that we could look at things. I know that there's been some updating of the, I've been notified that there's some updating of the vulnerability page, the review pages. So because I created a separate set of pages for the maintenance release.
Mm-hmm.
And so let me go through those. Maybe today. Maybe one of my calls will be very boring today. So let me try and go through those today, Paolo, and I'll get that on. I'll send you some information about that. The other thing I would like to say about the vulnerability reviews, I think if we could get a few more people involved in that, it's useful. Because what we made the decision on is that I would not review any AT&T owned projects. And it used to be Powell and Steve, but now it's just Powell. Powell would not review any Orange projects. But if we get a few more people mm-hmm. involved in this, I think it's useful for everybody to have more visibility what these reports look like, what we're seeing mm-hmm. from the projects.
Are there any volunteers? Yes, who would like to support us?
Yeah, I'd like to volunteer myself.
Okay, it's Arul?
Yeah, that's
thank
me.
You, Arul.
Okay, thank you, Arul.
That's great.
So I will add you as a participant.
Yeah.
So we will have to make
an action.
Jonathan, you want to also support this?
So this is Tony.
Ah, Tony. Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, but I'm also
thank
with
you,
AT&T. So
that's okay. There's plenty of projects.
Thank you, sir.
There's plenty of projects that don't have an AT&T PTO, so that'll be nice.
Yep.
Yeah. This is Jonathan. I'm in AT&T as well, and Amy probably do just as well. So that's fine.
Okay, great.
Well, I'm saying that probably just leave Amy on there because that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think Amy. I Jonathan, I think you're towards the end of a release. You have enough to do. You have enough on your plate.
So I was just saying why I hadn't volunteered. So take me out.
Yeah, don't put Jonathan. We need Jonathan doing other things.
Right. So, yeah. So
okay. But thank you for volunteering.
Okay.
Appreciate
great.
It.
I think four. I think four is a good number. You know, having at least four is a great number. Thank you so much, everyone.
Yeah. Great. Thanks, Tony. Thanks, Arun. So moving on, we have a penetration test. So this week, maybe I will give you a short highlight already on the status because I think it is important to have a common understanding. So I will try to share it with you immediately. Okay, so the feedback from Krzysztof is that to let you know, there were some problems to install properly the Casablanca release, but the good point is that Samsung team managed to solve this issue. So they have up and running Casablanca release, and Krzysztof made a workshop for the penetration testers and presented kind of feedback on the workshop we had in face-to-face in Paris, and apparently, ONAP instance is ready for hackers to do their job, and they started to do some checks of the code. They already found some potential issues, and they will go try to dig deeper a little bit on that. And we are expecting to have some first feedback maybe next week on the penetration test. So I hope this will be a very significant input for our risk assessment analysis, and also to be shared with appropriate projects and PTLs and group of people, stakeholders for this security concerns. So this is the status.
Did those reports fall under the vulnerability management criteria? Do they have to be treated super carefully?
I think they don't follow our vulnerability management criteria or process. They have their own knowledge and their own experience in hacking systems. So they rely on their kind of best practices to see if and how much our system is vulnerable to different.
Now I'm talking about how the information is shared about what vulnerabilities were found.
Well, in general, we will follow the secure communication process, in a sense that we will open some Jira tickets for the vulnerabilities, and we will give the permissions to the appropriate people that are involved in this. And once we have it fixed, it will be announced publicly, but only when it is fixed. So it will be according to the vulnerability process we have already established, right?
Okay, so we are going to follow the new way of using the protected,
exactly.
The separate Jira ticket.
Yeah.
But then, okay, so we have that separate Jira, but what are we, I guess, have we worked out all the details about how the, I guess we are going to grant access to the developer who needs to handle that, and to the PTL also to be able to view that Jira.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, this is okay. The list of people we should allow them to do it, and we need to practice it. Right. So far, we have
okay.
no yet opportunity to
one
check
thing,
if it's working fine.
So one thing I think is. I think we all need to think about how we communicate these vulnerabilities. I guess once there's a fix, once there's a patch available and it's been mm-hmm. fixed, we do need to make it public. I think also we probably need to be at the point where if we find something that is a real vulnerability and we've created a patch, at that point, I think we need to make it an official CVE because ONAP is an official package. And that way you have a way of communicating to the larger community that, hey, you have a problem and here's how to fix it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good suggestion.
Serious consideration should also be given to back porting those patches to the previous release.
I agree with you, Tony, and I think that's something that we need to tee up with the TSC, because, you know, right now we had a single maintenance release, and I don't think there's a plan for another one. So the question is, what are the logistics behind doing that backporting?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that is something that we do need to bring up to the TSC because, you know, it may be reasonable to wait, you know, however long to get the new Dublin release. But if there is a vulnerability, you also have, I think there needs to be some recommendations once you've got a CVE out. There needs to be also some recommendations on ways of mitigating it short of taking a patch because we still don't know if we're going to be able to have the patching of any more patches to Casablanca. So I really think that needs to be brought up to the TSC and let them make a decision. My own feeling is I agree with you, Tony. They need to patch it backwards, but we also have to get approval for that and a mechanism for making that patch available.
Let's find one first.
Yeah, I agree. Then we may be solving a problem that doesn't exist.
Okay, so I noted the section point. So we'll try to push it for the next TSC, which is tomorrow, to check if we can add this point to the agenda and to have at least some short discussion on this process.
Do we want to wait? Wait until I think they have a lot on their plate. Do we want to wait and see what the outcome of the report is? I'm just worried because this week they're going to be doing there. This week is milestone one, because milestone one got pushed out a week, and also it's the week before they're releasing the maintenance release. So I'm thinking that they're not going to get to this. Furthermore, nobody's going to have much attention on it. We might be better off pushing it either to the 31st or the 7th.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and if we're going to discuss adding a security release, I think actually having a security issue that we feel really needs to be pushed into a release is a lot better for a conversation than having it being hypothetical. Or don't bring it up as a hypothetical thing until we actually have an issue that we feel really needs to be solved in a secondary maintenance release.
Well, suggest not to wait for the. I would suggest to the TSC some proposal, right? And then if they decide, okay, this is only hypothetical, then it's the decision of TSC. But from our perspective, I think the best practice would be to make a kind of anticipation and to try to find a way to have a backward compatibility for the patches. Of course, we can say it should be for the critical ones, maybe not for some minor. And so on, right? But we will have some gradation of the severity of the vulnerabilities, right? And then for the most important ones, maybe we can say it should be backward compatible, and maybe for some minor, okay, it's we can live with that, right? What do you think?
I'm just thinking of the politics of getting a policy in place. It's easier to do that when you have a real item that needs to be done and have it go in our way, the way we want it to, rather than a hypothetical situation that, who knows, they might vote yes, they might vote no.
I think
that's a really good point.
Think about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. From penetration tests, we should have some kind of fuel for doing this kind of stuff, right? So I think we should have some important inputs coming from penetration tests that could be used as an argument to convince decision makers. Okay, I'd like to go to the P1 at least to discuss them, because I think it is important to have a common understanding and to ensure we have some leaders, drivers for each task, okay? So for penetration tests, it's Christoph, or we can call him Chris. And if you go further, we have a list of the P1s, so on our project security requirements. So Samuli will give us some presentation in a couple of minutes.
Yes.
Static code scanning, so we are considering some replacement tool for the Nexus IQ. Then if you look, there are some similar tickets on both TSC, Jira, and SecCom. So then it's a question of who would be really driver of it, whether it's more on the TSC level or on the SecCom level. Amy, you have some suggestions? Because one thing is to have a tool proposal and then to have also discussion with Linux Foundation, because we need to have some license, which should be most probably free of charge, and so on, right?
Well, we had looked into Coverity because as an open source project, we can use their scanning as a service product. Mm-hmm. However, there were real problems. We could not get it integrated into the Jenkins, and we really feel strongly that we have to get it integrated into Jenkins. I think we need to circle back with Zig, because he was asking IBM. IBM has a very good product. Mm-hmm. I know another product that's quite good for doing static code, for doing this. There are a number of other products out there. I think that I'd like to see, because, and the reason for Zig is because IBM is an ONAP member, so maybe they would be willing to provide the licensing as part of their membership.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have to have something that integrates with Jenkins, and there have been, I only know for the Coverity, that's the one that was a problem getting it integrated into the Jenkins.
Mm. But maybe also reviewing with Jessica the difficulty, and maybe asking some other guys to help. Maybe we could try to use it, right? I understood that Coverity is used by the OpenStack colleagues, right? As one of the tools.
Right, but I don't know if they have it integrated with their Jenkins.
But
that's
this is something
concerned.
That we can investigate, right? Maybe they did it already.
That's fine.
To rely on their experience. I will try to check if we could get this information, if they managed to integrate it with Jenkins. If this is the case, we can then try to check how they did it, and maybe we could help Jessica to do it more efficiently.
Okay. Okay, that's great, because she just ran into a complete roadblock and couldn't get anywhere with it. So, yeah, let's see if there's somebody else who's gotten it integrated.
Okay, I take this action. Okay, moving forward, we have ISTO AF integration. So I remember Avi was organizing some meeting about the ISTO, but To be honest, we have no yet priority for that, and I have no confirmation from Avi if he's able to run it. Maybe Jonathan, you would like to also participate or take leadership part?
Well, you know, if it happens, I need to be part of it. I mean, there's, you know, obviously, but I can't lead that process. We're in a situation where we don't have a lot of lead resources, and you know, I'm not going to lead something that like that. You know, obviously, I'll be part of it if somebody takes over, but you know, help do some things. But you know, I'm not. I don't even know Istio, and I don't really, you know, feel like I need to learn it. I need an instance of it. I can't just do it out of you know, out of no boxes or anything like that. So you know, if it's going to happen, if somebody wants it, they're going to have to step up and do something with it, and then I'll help out.
We had some discussion with Natasha, so from, I understood from feedback coming from her that it could be an important point to have this ISTO integration possible. However, as you stated, we need to have somebody to lead it, to help, and so on. So I will try to check with Avi. I already sent him some emails. Maybe I'll try to have some short call, and we'll see if we have a leader. But from your perspective, is it the P1 or it should be passed to the P2 or P3? Question to community members. What do you think?
P1 stands for priority one, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I would put it a P2 from personally. I don't think it's as high priority as other things.
There is one. Samuel here. There is one thing actually I just learned from a colleague that maybe it was even presented by for example, Srini along the way. But anyway, I just realized now that Istio does support certain databases even, and I think maybe it also supported Kafka. For kind of integration in the manner that if we have, for example, Kafka native APIs, like I'm afraid we still have those completely open, no authentication activated. So with Istio, we actually could keep those completely open as long as Istio supports them. So then Istio is kind of the gatekeeper for those supported 3PPs. There is a quite long list of them anyway on Istio, because Istio anyway works from the kind of intercepting from the kernel with IP tables, so it's kind of difficult to bypass that kind of gatekeeper. So it would be actually a quite nice thing. Otherwise it's a bit painful to really, which we otherwise have to do, of course, to really have authentication in place in all of our databases, like separately. We have to have some accounts and passwords or other authentication mechanisms and passwords. But anyway, with Istio, we could actually just basically keep them open, and Istio is the gatekeeper. So that's mm-hmm. something that I realized quite recently.
So there is some added value of Istio in this case,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. Now I of course just learned this from a colleague here mm-hmm. that is looking at Istio, but he's a quite competent guy, so I have no reason to suspect that this wouldn't work like he described.
Uh-huh. Okay, so suggestion from Jonathan was to put it into P2. Any objections or other point of view?
I had a call with the DCA team yesterday, and AAF and Istio integration was a hot topic. You know, how is it going to work? How are we going to be able to use it? So.
I think
definitely don't want to lose it.
Yeah, I'm what I'm worried about is if we move, because P0 is the most important, so this is moving it down to a third level of priority. What my concern is that it's going to catch us by surprise if we don't take a more active role mm-hmm. and keep it at least at a P1.
Mm-hmm. So I suggest we wait until feedback from Avi if he's able to lead this this topic. If he doesn't, we put it as a P2 because we don't have a resources to run it. However, we keep it in the backlog because we believe it is important to handle it. Maybe if it's not in Dublin, maybe it will be in e-release, right?
Yeah. And by the way, I was forgetting that our P's are zero based. So if there's a P0, I'm okay with P1. I thought P1
okay.
was very highest. Sorry, I'd forgotten. We even made jokes about it last time, and I. Sorry. So
okay.
P2. I'm sorry. P1.
So we keep it in P1, but still, for me, I think that for P1 we need to have really some leader to push it and also maybe some team to support because it's difficult to run everything alone. But
all right. So remind. Does anybody remember who brought the Istio in the first place? Because I know Avi stepped in and said, "Hey, I'll do something," but it didn't come directly from Avi, correct?
Exactly. I was going to ask that because it was Srini.
Srini
from
Intel.
Right. He was very active on this. So maybe,
I will put also Srini in the loop at least to see if he's.
Yeah, because I think we have to, and it may just be somebody that we. It may be somebody from outside of SecCom, but I. We definitely have to get somebody who's interested in this and work with them. But
I think some colleagues from Huawei, right? There was at least in Beijing face to face, he was doing some ISTO presentation.
That's also true. I remember. I don't remember the name of person, but
I remember the face, but I don't remember the name.
Yeah.
But okay, I think that I'm able to find out.
From the presentation materials.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I will try to update this one. Okay, as we are running out of time, so I'd like to move on with some other topics. As you can see, for some of the activities, I've identified some tickets in Jira. So we could have a better tracking for them in Jira. And if there are no tickets in Jira, I think we will have to create ones to ensure we have some good Kanban table with the it would be easier to manage. We have vulnerability management refresh. So for the membership of the sub community, I don't know. Normally, probably Amy, it was Steven who was leading it, right? Who had the rights? Maybe it should be you at this stage, right?
That's fine. But I think probably both you and I do need to be involved in this. So I think this is where
Chris myself as a backup if needed, but for the moment maybe it's more on your side.
That's fine. Yeah, I saw some things coming through because this is this whole, and I think that this vulnerability management refresh and the secure manner for vulnerability reporting, these are well, maybe it's best to keep them separate because getting the committee. Well, but I mean, we talk about the procedures here and this and the secure manner for vulnerability reporting really is part of that new procedure.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm hesitant to keep these two separate.
Okay. Yeah, this is more to have membership and, you know, it's administrative work to know who should be informed in case of vulnerability and so on, right?
Yeah.
Then we have risk assessment. So Samuli. As a leader, we have a secure manner for vulnerability reporting. So this is the Chris who is leading this point. We were considering PGP, but most probably we'll handle Jira with some secure access.
I saw that Jess sent back some feedback about the just about 10 minutes ago about the. About that, so and she was sending it to Steve. So I don't think that I think Steve is probably the one that's more involved in the and has been for the JIRA. So we just have to decide who's going to take that over, if it's going to be Chris or somebody else. And Chris mm-hmm. isn't on the call today, so I don't necessarily want to volunteer him without him being here. Mm-hmm. Not that I'm above doing that, but
about to say, since when has that ever stopped you?
Exactly. I'm not on enough church committees to know.
So, okay, so let's keep Chris for the moment. I will try to check with him if he's okay to confirm that he can do it. Maybe we can put you, Amy, as well, if you want.
Sure. Okay. Sure.
Okay, so I will give one more moment for the P1s to go through the P1s, and then I will switch to you, Samuni, because you are the presenter for some points. So we have a communication matrix that we discussed last time. It was like P1. Natasha volunteered to lead it. We have the certificate authority. For this one, Amy, I haven't found the JIRA ticket. Am I right? Or I just simply couldn't identify it. Maybe we have to create
one.
There are no
JIRA tickets for that. And I'm hesitant. I will create a JIRA ticket for it.
And last but not least, for P1 at least, is the addressing known vulnerabilities independent components. We'll start with ODL, and I'm in touch with Alexis, who is our point of contact with ODL. And he's trying to get some feedback from ODL for the list of vulnerabilities. For the moment, it's not that much successful, but maybe we'll have to ask a few times or check for some support from the Linux Foundation or Katrin on the TSC level. But we are trying to handle it. We have the components that are the most affected by this, namely speaking CCSDK, AppC, and SDNC. And we just need to try to do the follow-up with the ODL. Maybe I will break for the moment to give Samuli opportunity to present us. Samuli, you have some presentation, or?
Yeah, I could do some some overview.
I will pause my share.
Yeah.
I hope you will be able to share now your.
Yeah, let's see.
Or maybe stop share, not pause, but stop. And now you should be able to.
Okay.
Can yes, we can see it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So I have now just as the first version, as it has been said, taken it based on the ONAP VNF requirements, VNF security requirements, because well, simply they are quite good set of requirements, and we can get so fairly far with adapting those requirements. So and it should be a rather low effort to do the first version based on those. So what I have done is I will show you from here. I have gone not really completely yet through all of these, but to some extent I have kind of checked the requirements and if the requirement as such is in my mind fully applicable, then I just have it here like the first one. If there is some because for some requirements I think it's not so straightforward to just say that every requirement applies to every ONAP component, because for some of them like this one here, I suggest that some security architecture work is needed. Maybe the requirement is not really applicable for every component, and so then I think SecCom should kind of interpret how this requirement is to be implemented in ONAP overall. Another thing is, of course, that the requirement maybe often says what to do, but then the question of how to do it, it's probably better that the in some cases at least, that the SecCom has an opinion of how to implement some requirement. It's not necessarily all, but in some cases. So just a bit scrolling down still, then I have marked some requirements with yellow, like this one here. I think personally, this is one of the most important ones. It's about hardening, thinking like we discussed in the Paris face-to-face in one of these Steve's meetings, that maybe in El Alto we don't want to just make the whole big list of requirements kind of mandatory, but maybe we will need to gradually introduce, like in first phase we could have selected some most important ones and start to mandate those, while the other ones maybe can be there, but we could just put them in a should format. I mean, that's to be defined how we will start to really enforce this in El Alto. I think the decision was anyway that we will not enforce them in Dublin yet at all. But this is the way I have been going through this, and sometimes, maybe just one more example here. Sometimes I even have written some, maybe modified a bit more, like here we have two. I wanted to have two different type of requirements on traffic separation. The first one is on the ONAP external network interfaces, where I think we would like to have separation of ONM traffic from other, just like in the VNF requirement. But maybe we also can specify that certain other traffic types should be separated, for example, database traffic or traffic between the VNFs and ONAP, etc. And then the second one, I have a Kubernetes, kind of Kubernetes domain, what, if anything, to do there. I mean, there we can utilize the network policies if we want to do some separation in the Kubernetes clusters. So this is just an example, and I don't want to scroll too much more down, but and this is actually where I have my work has so far stopped here. So my plan was that I could try to do this, complete this list in very near future, and then we could probably have a review sessions on this material.
So it's like a February time frame, more or less, or?
Yeah. I think it shouldn't take too much time for me to go through this, and then we would have the first version for reviewing. So, but any comments? I mean, what on this approach? Any other comments?
No, I think Moscow technique is useful to to put the priorities and let's say the strict requirements versus maybe nice to have and so on. So yeah.
Kind of already from the baseline, which is the VNF requirements, we have the some are should and some are must. But of course, it may be that in the context of ownup, maybe we want to just adjust some of these, either to be more strict or less strict. And but I think to a very big extent, the VNF requirements are valid. So I hope that in next week's meetings I would have already completed, and then we can maybe agree on some review, maybe separate review meetings, unless we have better or other ideas how we start to review this.
I think separate is needed because it's a I would say some more amount of time needed to to play with it, and then we could on the regular weekly meeting we could do the reporting of what was discussed, and if there are some points that require additional attention or discussion.
Absolutely, it can't be in this weekly meeting. I just think that in principle people could also just comment in wiki or something like that. Maybe that can be the start, and then I don't know, but let's see.
Putting it on wiki is a good point. It is then visible to everyone, and everyone can provide comments or
Hey, Somali, did you find it useful, since you did so much review of the VNF requirements last summer, did you find it useful to have them in JIRA so that we could keep track of the comments, or is that too much work?
Maybe that could be the way. Otherwise, if it's just in a wiki, the commenting can be quite
Because I'm thinking if we could put the requirements in, you know, just sort of thinking, ultimately I think that JIRA worked well, but you know, that was also because that was the process that the VNF requirements team uses. But it is useful for capturing the comments, because I know that I've had to go back to some of those to find out, you know, when there were questions, and having those comments in the, and having everything commented on what we did in the plus ones and the JIRA was really useful. Yes, it's a pain in the neck to get the JIRA tickets done. Or, I mean, it's just sort of menial work.
So, Samuli, question to you, if you would have some time to sacrifice to do it in JIRA to benefit from comments coming from the community. Samuli, are you with us? Samuli?
He looks like he went on mute.
Okay, so I propose to move on with the agenda. So I unfortunately will not be able to move through all the P2 and P3s, but I will share the slides. So if you'd have some ability to have a look and maybe to volunteer to run one or the other task, it would be great. Otherwise, we could maybe try to discuss more in the details next week or the week after the lower priorities. So I propose to move to the ticket management for vulnerability. So as we discussed, in the meantime, we are planning to use the JIRA for that. However, we haven't yet practiced it in the real life scenario. So maybe we have the need to practice it, maybe to do just for the exercise reason, to open this kind of to get.
So I think this is a good point.
Do you hear this this annoying noise?
I do. I definitely hear it.
Oh, now it's better. Thank you. So, sorry. No, it's okay.
So Samuli, one thing I'd say about the ticket management for vulnerabilities. We got some feedback during this call from Jess, and she said that she's still reviewing the workflow, but she wants to get Kenny and some other Jira user opinion first. Mm-hmm. Everybody on SecCom, I think, got this email, and it's she said that it's currently only people with an LFID can create a Jira ticket, and she's a little concerned about having an anonymous user be allowed to submit a ticket. So I think that's a very valid point. She's concerned. She said that she thinks that we can get the group permissions we're asking for. And she believes that only the watchers of a particular Jira can receive email notifications. I think that's completely true, because I think that, I don't think that, when we were doing the VNF security requirements, I think only the people that follow the VNF Jira got notified. Mm-hmm. So, she had some good feedback here. Like I said, I think everyone got this. So just review, and maybe you want to just, and you might want to just include her comments into the notes for this meeting.
Okay. Yeah. Good point. And I think we have almost. Yeah, we are close to the completion of this session. So, one more point is that, as I mentioned at the beginning, we have a open chair election. If anyone would be interested to apply for this great job, is welcome. I don't know for the details regarding the planning, when the election would take place and so on, and how much time do we have for applying for the chair position. I think it will be soon provided by Kenny. The process itself will be similar to the one we had previously for the election of Steve and Amy, right? So I don't think there would be any change. So we have some representative per let's say company. So if there are more than one person working on at the SecCom for the company, there should be only one voter. And then we have some process of election, and that's it. For your information, I will try to apply. We'll see if maybe there are some more interesting candidates. So don't hesitate to apply, and we could have a further work together on that. Are there any other topics that we should address during this meeting? I don't hear, so just for the next week, Amy, on my side, I will be on winter holidays.
Okay.
So if possible, is it okay for you to run the meeting, to lead it?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, great. So I will share the some short summary of the meeting and slides presented. And please don't hesitate to look at the P2, P3's volunteer for leading them. And talk to you soon. And have a nice afternoon or morning.
Thank you.
Depending on your time zone.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Amy, stop recording.
Yes, I was just finding the stop recording button.